Good afternoon. This is WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carver, where you're tuned to 103.5 FM, or you may be streaming us from the web. This is Dick Paddock. I'm the co-host and the only host today for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show that we call the Wake Up Call, where we connect the dots in order to help you keep up with what's going on in the community and occasionally beyond the community. Today we are going to rebroadcast something that we originated only 3 weeks ago on December 14th, 2011. Happy New Year, by the way, since it is now 2012. We're rebroadcasting that because we are going to follow it up with an update next week's show. This show that we did 3 weeks ago was on the situation in the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools regarding a suddenly appearing application for a charter school. The NAACP Education Committee, of which I am a part, is quite concerned about the impact of this charter school on the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, particularly with the new superintendent. It may very well be at cross purposes with what the new superintendent that we just hired is planning to implement, and also maybe at cross purposes with what the NAACP Education Committee sees as being advantageous. So I'm going to go ahead and start that up, and Lori Hoyt, who hosted the show, is going to going to introduce the people, and going to introduce the people who are being interviewed on the show. Here we go.
Oops, radio show. And I'm Lori Hoyt, your co-host with Dick Paddock, also co-host.
Co-host and engineer.
And Dick, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Today's the actual birthday.
The actual birthday, yes.
And you've been celebrating since last Saturday with family.
Right.
And maybe you could tell us about the upcoming community celebration that you're hoping that everyone's invited to and that you're hoping they'll come to. Want to tell
us
about it?
At 5 o'clock at the Hargrave Center on Sunday, December 18th, we're going to have a celebration of the fact that I have, in fact, crossed the line, and I will be a full 70 years old, and that also I am receiving a Reliable Ally Award from the Southern Anti-Racism Network, of which I am treasurer. And so Vimala will be providing some food
at
5 o'clock, and Vimala of Curry Blossom Cafe. Everybody should know that. If they don't, get over there and check it out. Because as Vimala says, when Vimala cooks, everybody eats.
She's very good about feeding people who show up hungry, and her food is wonderful. Right. She's over by
the courtyard.
The courtyard, thank you. So come to Dick's birthday party. Everybody's invited. There'll be good people, good music, and wonderful food. And I forgot to mention the name of our show, which we keep playing with, but it's our wake-up call to connect the dots, because all the issues that so many of us care about, from war and peace to community schools to the environment, all of these are connected. And today we are so happy to have some of our NAACP brother and some sisters, and we're going to be talking about a recent controversy over charter schools in Chapel Hill. And I'd like to introduce you to Sapinda Keith. Sapinda.
Hi, Lori.
Hey. Supinda and her husband Kevin is here, and we're waiting on Lalani, who's also on her way. Who they're all part of the education committee of the NAACP, and I think Lalani is now coming in. So this is a recent controversy that is very, very distressing to the NAACP. As our listeners hopefully know, the NAACP has for years been working with the school system, trying to improve the schools and especially improve their track record with minority students. So I've started opening this up. You want to lay it out a little bit more, Supinda, about what's happened?
Sure, sure. And I do want to say happy birthday to Dick. So happy birthday. You don't look 70.
Today's the big 7-0. Wow.
I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I want to say, and help me jump in, Leilani and Kevin, November 21st, I believe. Was it November 21st or November 12th? It was a deadline for the fast-track application for charter schools to apply. And
10th.
November 10th. Okay, there we go, November 10th. And so while that was a month ago, it really wasn't that long ago in terms of our local LEA having an opportunity to respond. So when the application went in, we got wind of it from a friend of ours, and you know, we were sort of surprised because as advocates in the community, you know, we didn't hear anything about this. And not that we have to know everything, but, you know, when you're in the community a lot, you sort of know who's doing what.
Well, you usually hear discussion of something as important as trying to start a new school. And this was very, very quiet and nobody heard about it. And that was the last day of being able to make an application to the department, the State Department of Education, the last day that you could apply for a charter school for, I guess, the next year, right?
Right, that's right. So when they lifted the cap, I believe, in September, anybody could apply on this fast-track process. And so several, I think 27 applicants applied on the last, a lot of them did it on the very last day. I can't
yes.
say all of it, but I know many of them did it on the actual, on November the 10th. And from that, they had 7 days to notify the local LEA that this was their intent.
What is the LEA for?
Our local school district, I'm sorry, Chapel okay. Hill City Carborough mm-hmm. Schools. Wherever the charter school was proposing to go into, they have to notify
I see.
That community.
Okay.
And we sort of, from that moment, said, wait a minute, where's this public discussion been? No one has talked about this. This is potentially going to remove over $4 million from our school district, and it's not been out in the public forum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started digging, and the rabbit hole's gotten really deep at this point. But we know that yesterday and today, those applications went in front of the North Carolina Charter School Council,
mm-hmm.
Advisory Council. If those charters get approved today, they move on. The next and final step is for them to be approved through DPI, the Department of Public Instruction. Having found out from the article in the paper a few weeks ago, our local superintendent, Dr. Fracella, and our local school board did submit a letter on behalf of our LEA saying that we don't need this charter in Chapel Hill City School District, and there's reasons for that, as well as the local NAACP branch was also able to submit a letter stating our concerns about the process and stating several reasons why we feel like we don't need this in our community right now.
Right, and I think that, as I understand it, is that the reasons in their application that they felt that this district needed the charter school, as I understand, were two main reasons. One was school overcrowding, and the other was the achievement gap for minority students. And the NAACP, of which all of us here are members, both was taken by surprise by this, but and the school district taken by surprise, but also that there is slight overcrowding now, but because of that, a new school is already planned for next year in the Northside District, which is an African-American community in Chapel Hill, and the new school's already planned, and I think another one is also in the works. So that would definitely take care of the overcrowding for the foreseeable future. So that was one piece. And then the other piece was the achievement gap, which is true. That's something the NAACP has been working with the school district for years. But there has been improvements, and we now have a brand new school superintendent with a new vision, and I have not really talked to him. I don't know if the three of you who, I know at least Alana, you've met with him, can talk a little bit about that.
Once he became superintendent, we did, we have a, in the community, there's a community parent forum, and so we have a lot of parents that were really interested in meeting with him, as well as NAACP, and so we took that, both of those groups, and met with Dr. Forsella, and basically got a understanding of what his vision was, you know, and how he was going to move forward. And one of those things was one that, you know, like you mentioned, number 11 on the north side, that school, school number 11 is going to be opening, that basically his whole piece is looking at a different way of looking at intelligence and how to grow intelligence. And so we can get on board with that.
And you sounded hopeful the way way he was looking.
And he's basically addressing some of the things that, you know, that had been established, you know, in a long, you know, time that Dr. Peterson had been here in this community as superintendent, and that administration there. He's addressing some of the things that, you know, may work to you know, alleviate some of the issues that are here in this community, and he's been in the schools and talking with his principals and setting up training in Pittsburgh with one of the universities there for his staff and everything. And so he's working with those, you know, the people that he has, you know, to make a shift. And so the most we can do is support that, you know. And the NAA has always talked about the Education Committee about accountability. And we've expressed that, you know, that there are certain areas we've seen these gaps in, you know, where children are not being caught in the net. And we basically want to see that dropout rate, as well as these potholes filled.
Yeah. Well, I have in front of me the Chapel Hill newspaper's report that came out on Sunday that quotes Mr. Forcella, the new school superintendent. He had responded to the application for a charter school and disputed the claims about the district's lack of progress on closing the achievement gap. Black students' test scores have improved when considered over a three-year period, he wrote. A quote, the proposal depicts only 1 year's of data regarding the percentage of students proficient on end-of-grade assessment. In reality, the improvement rate over the last 3 years has been positive. The African-American and Hispanic subgroups have progressed at twice the rate of improvement for the state as a whole. Right. These two groups have narrowed the gap by over 10%.
Right, and that track record that the NHA says that they have, you know, they refuted, is that, you know, they said that, well, you know, our children are performing in the 50 percentile, you know. Well, you know, we're already at the 70 percentile here in this, you know, community. We're working towards, you know, moving that up. Mm-hmm. And so if, you know, you've been in certain communities for 10 years and NHA is only performing at the 50th, I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, then how, are you telling us that you're going to take our children backwards or what? Mm-hmm. You know?
So the two big reasons, or the main reasons that application was submitted. What they claimed was the need for a charter school. We feel that as the NAACP and as concerned citizens, we feel that the record that the school board also wrote in a letter to the Department of Public Instruction, we feel that that's refuted, that therefore there is no real need for a charter school, that the overcrowding will be addressed,
right,
that students are progressing.
Yes.
And that leads us to, which I'd like us to talk about, is this National Heritage Foundation, which is the ones that the local group who kind of sponsored getting this charter school here, has a pretty troubling record, and I think it's important to point out to our listeners that this is not just idealistic people. This foundation that would be controlling and running this school is a for-profit, and these are businessmen who have learned how to make a significant profit on education, and that where this limited resources right then raises a red flag to my mind about, well, how are they making this profit when, you know, so I think Sapenda, Lalani, Keith, I think you all know a little bit more about this than me. If you could kind of tell us a little bit more about the National Heritage Foundation and why we're so troubled, particularly about them.
Sure, I'll start with that. It's National Heritage Academies.
Oh, Academy.
Yeah. They are a for-profit management group from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Mm.
So when I initially looked at the application and I saw National Heritage Academies, I thought, oh, well, who are these folks? Let me dig a little bit deeper. And it was started by J.C. Huizenga, I think that's how you say his name, who is a relation to Wayne Huizenga, who is the multi-gazillionaire for waste management company, also Blockbuster. And so even the history of those companies, there's some things that are quite questionable. But with JC, he started this up in Michigan. It is a for-profit company. And so when we thought, well, how is it that a for-profit company from Michigan can come into our school district and tell us what's wrong? And we've had no dialogue,
mm-hmm.
For one. Most alarming to me was when I read the 127-page application.
Wow.
You know, one of the things that stood out immediately was, you know, they say they can come into our school district, they can build a school building in 18 weeks at a cost of...
Did I hear that right? 18 weeks?
That's right. At a cost of $5 to $7 million. And it would be leased back to the board at one...
The school board.
The local school board. The charter school, not mm-hmm. our school, not the Chapel Hill school board, but the school board for this local Heritage Academies.
Oh.
For the Lillian and Howard Lee Academy.
Okay, so that Lillian and Howard Lee are the...
They have a board for the school. And
so they're the sponsoring
the nonprofit. Yeah, they're the local nonprofit sponsoring board. So anyway, National Heritage Academies would lease the building, the brand new building, mm-hmm. to this local board for the charter school at $1,192,000. Plus $125,000 a year in property tax. Now, the lease is non-negotiable. Anybody in their right mind, if they're just doing simple math, would understand that, you know, in 6 to 7, 8, maybe 9 years.
This is I think you told me earlier, was a 10-year lease?
I think charter schools are on this 10-year provisional plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a year-to-year lease,
okay,
but it's not negotiable. And so... Here we are, our
school
district.
Non-negotiable, excuse me, what does that mean? Does that mean that the school board has no say in it?
That means
our local school board.
Our local school board has no say in it at all.
Okay.
Non-negotiable, what I understand it, and I'm not an expert again, attorney,
yeah.
But once our this
is in place.
Is in place, they pay this lease
mm-hmm.
year after year after year after year. So in 6 or 7 or 8 years down the road, when technically that building has been paid for at a cost of $7 million, they're still going to pay on that lease.
I see. So that's where at least one part of the profit comes in.
That's a big part of the profit.
Big part of the profit.
And we won't own the school district does not own that school building. That school building is owned by National Heritage Academies.
So even after it's paid off or a profit is built in, like, say, after 10 years, then the school. So, and who pays? But okay, so this is being leased to the local nonprofit, the Lee Foundation's board. So are they paying the million? Where does the $1 million lease money come from?
So that money comes out of our school district per student, per pupil allotment. So when they fill
okay, so
their
our
school
local
up,
taxes.
Our local tax dollars, yes.
And it comes out of our. I'm trying to understand this because this is kind of complicated business. So out of our tax dollars and our local school board, that money comes out of it to the Lee Foundation, which pays the National Heritage Academy, so that we don't have any say in it. Then
Well, it's more like this. This. Our school district gets so much money per child based on our enrollment.
I see.
And the 400-some children that they are targeting to remove from the local school system
okay.
and put in their charter school, that money actually comes from the state. So the state money that would come into our school district, the Chapel Hill City Carborough School District, will no longer come in. It will go to this charter school.
That's still, of course, our tax money.
It's absolutely our tax
money. Absolutely our tax
money.
And
so over the course of building up this school, K through 8, they're going to add a new grade every year. It will, in about 5 or 6 years' time from now, it will be at a cost of over $4 million loss out of our school district to go into this charter school.
Okay.
So that money.
So that would, that's money that would not be coming into our school district that we had anticipated getting as we're ready to build a new school
in
the Northside Center and another school. So that kind of gets sucked out of our local system where we don't have any say about.
That's right. That's right. So this money that is earmarked for our school district will follow those students. So if those 400 students go over here to this charter school, that money will follow them over
I
there.
I get it.
Part of that, though, the problem that we have with that as well is this proposed charter school isn't offering transportation or free and reduced lunches. So if they're saying that they're trying to target and help close some of the achievement gap, we know which students they're implying that they want to reach out. They haven't disclosed where they're going to build this building, so we don't know where it's going to be. We don't know, realistically, if 400 children from our school district can't even get to that school building without school buses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some things that I think that our larger community really need to be thinking about and questioning.
So, in other words, a lot of the achievement gap is also connected with poverty. I mean, let's be upfront about that. Poverty makes it very hard for a kid who may be hungry or under a lot of stress at home, makes it very hard to learn. So poverty is very much also connected with difficulty in school. So they're saying that they want to help with the achievement gap, and what our concern and worry is that the very kids that they're saying that they are wanting to help would not, and at least in terms of their application, unless they change the model that they're presenting, would not be probably able to get there. And also that many of these children depend on the free or reduced lunches at school. So this is a huge concern. Okay, that's all kind of falling into places. And I hope it is for our listeners, because the paper has not been, they've told some of the stuff, and I'm not, you know, this is all kind of new to all of us, and but I think hopefully they will do an op-ed with the full letter that the NAACP wrote. And also, you two help, Kevin and Lilani and Sabina, didn't you help do an 8-page report that somewhere I heard about a long report with all the data about National Heritage Academy?
There's several notes on the subject,
mm-hmm.
and we used those notes to compile the letter that the NAACP has put forth to the Charter Association that's going to be doing the approval, and also to the board, and which also went out to the press.
Okay. So we had a press conference on Monday, we being the NAACP, And prior to that, though, this letter it went out to the school board and to the department, Leilani?
To the school board, to our local school board, as well as to Raleigh, DPI, mm-hmm. and the National Charter School Association. And so we've also sent it out to the churches, just, you know, trying to spread the word.
Because I think this has taken all of us by surprise.
Yeah.
I'll just quote from our letter that was sent to the Application Review Committee, the Office of Charter Schools, to the state, and it was regarding the fast-track application of for-profit Michigan Corporation. They're calling it the Lee Scholars Charter School. I didn't realize that, unquote. So we had just learned that the application was endorsed by a group of dedicated people from the Triangle area we know and respect, many of them, which is true. It was on the fast track, and they proposed to open the school in 9 months, which is very fast. And I understand they have their own construction crew. This is quite a big money operation, isn't it? So I'll just read the second paragraph, which is kind of encapsulating what we've been having a conversation about. It is the position of the NAACP and our allies that the Chapel Hill Carrboro School District does not need this school. The Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP stands firmly on the position of no diversion of taxpayers' money from our public schools to support the National Heritage Academies profiting from building a new school here. We throw our support behind the new superintendent of our schools, Dr. Thomas Forcella, and our new duly elected school board to determine the policies and personnel to meet our shared objective of educational success for every student. We believe that Superintendent Forcella, the board, and the team he is assembling are committed to work with the community stakeholders to forge a new path to end the achievement gap and advocate for diverse, constitutional, and high-quality schools for all of our children. So this is so important that the timing of this is what really throws me, that right when we have a new superintendent, a new vision, sort of a new beginning, and already there has been progress, and a new school about to be started. That's what has sort of, I don't quite understand the timing of this at all.
There's one more wrench throwing in there, right?
Well, yeah, when you think about it, it's so unfortunate that this controversy occurs right when the new superintendent has not even gotten really started yet, or is barely getting started. It's time for us to take a station break, and we can kind of catch our breath and be thinking of there's other things that we want to get into in terms of what kind of educational model is being used and other issues. Okay, Dick.
Oh, so
here we are.
Yeah, time for the break.
Wake up call.
Yes, this is the wake up call where we connect the dots for you. Or at least help you connect the dots.
Yeah, with you.
Because we don't always find ourselves able to do that. This is WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your 100-watt all-volunteer radio station, 103.5 on your FM dial, or streamed live over the Internet from WCOMFM.org, which is the website for the radio station.
And I forgot to mention that WILF stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Right. And our website is triangle, WILPF.org. And just to make sure that you're completely overwhelmed with reference material, I will tell you that our underwriter is Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. And we ask you we would like to tell you, rather, that the Internationalist Bookstore has many alternative books that you won't find elsewhere and magazines. And it also is a cultural center where educational programs take place, and there are occasional poetry readings and
movies.
Movies. Oh,
craft
okay.
Night.
Movies.
Craft night.
And a craft night. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. You should be doing this. Anyway,
No, you're doing great.
You can find Internationalist Bookstore, as I said, on 405 West Franklin Street, or you can go to their website, which is internationalistbooks.org.
And while we're talking about the NAACP, since we're giving a, and we, as usual, we forget to tell people, have your pen or pencil and paper ready, because we always tell you how to get more information. And so I hope by now you've found that pen or pencil that was hiding in the kitchen. And I'm going to give you the website for our local NAACP, because I would imagine that there is information about this on there. I hope that they've had a chance, because this is so new, to put it up. But anyhow, here it goes. www.chapelhill, one word, small letters, dash, Carborough, dash, NAACP, dash, org, and then what do you call those little slash things?
That's .org, I hope.
Yeah, .org.
Yeah, .org slash. Yeah, that's a slash, and there's nothing after it, so it's probably not necessary, but
okay.
You can put it in there.
Okay. So to check that out, because if it's not up yet, it will be. A lot of this research that has been done. One more time, Dick, we could tell about your fundraiser coming up next Sunday, December 18th, from 5 to 7.
Yes, from 5 to 7, we are asking you to come and enjoy a little entertainment, some good food, and be prepared to make a generous donation to the Southern Anti-Racism Network, which has a website that can be found at Project SARN, that's projectsarn.org. That'll help you know what we're raising money to do.
Okay. All right, and we're going to get back to our guests. We're very, very pleased and happy to have Supinda and Kevin Keith with us. And Leilani, could you pronounce your last name again for me, Leilani?
Leilani
Shangode. Leilani Sanjune.
Shangode.
Thank you. I'm sorry. My tongue sometimes, that's what old age does to you.
Diction lessons after the show.
So
that was terrible.
All four of us, all five of us are members of the local branch of the NAACP. And I do want to mention, as we're talking about our concerns about a proposal to start what we feel is a totally unneeded charter school here in Chapel Hill, is that the position, this is not a new position, this is not coming out of the blue for the NAACP, both nationally and statewide. For several years, the NAACP has opposed charter schools. When they first started many, many years ago, people wanted to wait and see how, because they thought some idealistic people start an alternative school, this could be a good thing. But as they've evolved more and more into a for-profit model, and more with these huge corporations with all kinds of money, if you have your own construction crew to go from different states and build a school in 18 weeks, this is something that does not take my breath away with admiration. It takes my breath away with fear. What kind of a building would that be in terms of safety? But, you know, I don't know. But it does not sound like a positive thing, I'll put it that way, to me. And so as that model of very much a businessman's for-profit model has evolved. The NAACP for many years now has taken that position of opposition because the whole thing is we want what's best for our children. And more that model seems like it is going to hurt our children, that it's going to suck away money from our local school system and take away any control or community voice in it. So I'm just going to lay that out for the second part of our program.
Right, and the part of that also that we argue is that, you know, the diversity in our schools, you know, you're affecting that diversity because Chapel Hill is predominantly Caucasian. And the minority, you know, the number of minority children in our schools equals to, you know, very.
Yeah, I think I heard 10% are African American. I don't know about all the minority children, but if they take away some of the higher achieving ones, that's going to hurt the kids who are left, I think.
Yeah, but we're not saying that. That's not the position that we're taking.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the numbers. And I'll go back to the money issue, but the numbers of 15% African-American and Latino students of the Chapel Hill-Carrboro City School District. Per state law, the charter schools have to mirror the demographics of the community. So with their proposed 458 students in their new charter school, they would only have to accommodate 70 African-American and Latino students before they start accepting other students. So if there cannot be a wholly and African-American and Latino sole charter school.
So
it is designed that way by the state, so no one has a lock on a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by not providing transportation, not providing free and reduced lunch, they kind of lock themselves into building a publicly funded private school.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Yes, it is, and that's fine. Anybody who wants a private school, and can do that, fine. But not to take our taxpayer dollars, and particularly not to take it where it sounds like we would have very little say, which brings up to the thing we talked about before the break about their. And anyone who wants to jump in about their educational model as laid out in, on their website or where they laid it out?
Well, I'll start with how they do their management, what I've read.
Okay.
NHA, National Heritage Academies, in their application, they say, you know, we'll come in, we'll build this school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that. And we'll put all the books in it and all the supplies in it that you need, and you don't have to worry about that. And we'll even hire the teachers, and we'll bring in the administrators.
Ah.
So the local board that submitted this application, they really don't have a lot of say. And then the larger community has no say.
Okay.
So then there's a question of accountability. Who is NHA accountable to?
Okay.
Already in this state, they have five schools. Five schools are operated by National Heritage Academies in North Carolina. Of the five schools, two of them last year did not meet AYP. That's adequate yearly progress. Three of the schools barely rose above state performance for their students.
Wow.
So what are they going to do to Chapel? What do they think they can do in Chapel Hill? Like Leilani said, it's a step back. Our children are already excelling. All of our children are already excelling above the state.
Above the state.
And what NHA is saying they're going to come in and do. Our concern is you're going to come in and skim off some of our brightest students, possibly put them in this charter school, and then that makes your stats look better nationally, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, they're playing a game with us, and the whole fast-track process and then getting it in quickly, they're not being any public dialogue or conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They were thinking no one was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to give the people who submitted this application the benefit of the doubt, because like you said, they are well-respected people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that maybe they just didn't know these things, and that's possible. But now that we know, how are we going to move forward?
Yeah.
And I'll let Leilani talk about, you know, what they propose in terms of how they test the children and what their curriculum looks like.
Yeah. Leilani, want to tell us?
Well, the proposal states that that they would basically support children that have special needs, as well as those children that are having problems, you know, struggling, and you know that's their hope, is that they can take those children that are having a hard time in the classroom and bringing their grades up. And those are the, you know, different areas that they said that they want to address. But I know basically, because I've raised three children, and I've taken my children through public, private, and charter schools. And I see how those things, when you start a school, it doesn't always start that way. I mean, it takes a while, just like any business, for you to really get up and really going, you know, whether you have the money there or not, you know, unless you, just like in our district, you know, until you have a collaborative, you know, philosophy and everybody's on the same page, and you know, it takes a while to do this. So we're talking about some more years that these children will be dropping behind, but the NHA's design and how it is that they've been creating their curriculum has been to test children. Not only do they do the standard test that, you know, the national test that is expected of all, you know, all schools, they also will include their own exams. And so these children are constantly being tested, mm-hmm. you know, and not actually learning in that critical thinking piece, you know, mm-hmm. where you're actually absorbing, you know, information and having a time to work that time. Your time is spent testing, you know, and so that's another concern of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So instead of developing critical thinking and the whole hope with education is to get children interested in learning. And if it's constant testing, teaching to the test, that seems to stifle. And I think that was, I liked something you said earlier about Dr. Ficello talking about the different kinds of intelligence. A lot of people don't realize that. And creativity, you know, spatial ability, musical talent, all of these are part of our intelligence.
And if you, child.
The whole child. And so if you're just restricting learning to this narrow piece of taking tests, you are not helping children, and those are the critical years, those elementary school years, in opening up and developing all the other aspects of intelligence rather than one narrow band. So that is another thing that I'm seeing in the Chapel Hill paper, Minister Campbell's letter, criticizing the National Heritage Academy's approaches as too test-centric. You know, that's exactly what you were just saying, that the students and the teachers are beholden to the next upcoming test cycle. It's dedicated to the students developing habits that center around test-taking. This does not keep them engaged. 21st-century learners who retain knowledge of coursework after completing exams, but not only knowledge of coursework, what's really important is the desire to learn, because knowledge keeps changing. But if you develop that early interest and love of learning, then you keep developing that throughout school and in college and whatever life. So Sapinda,
I think one of the things that, you know, I think is interesting is you know, here's this for-profit company that comes in and says we can do better with your students without really knowing. Their websites are impressive. I just want the audience and people out there in our community to just do a little homework, do a little research yourself. It's easy. It's easy to find. It's on the website. We're not making this stuff up. Again, we're not experts, but if you just look into it,
Okay, this is the National
Heritage Academy's
website.
Google them, look at what they're saying. All five of their schools in North Carolina, something that's really interesting on each one of those web pages, and I found this kind of humorous in terms of curriculum, they say, each one of them will say, we have a unique moral focus specifically created for this particular school. Every single one of them have the same verbiage. And so to me, my conclusion is it's cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The application that they submitted, the 127 pages, I bet you if you looked at all the other applications that have National Heritage Academies on it, they look the same. The only difference is what they're calling the school.
Yeah, yeah.
The contract's the same. Their rules are the same.
Yeah.
The layout's the same. So this is a business model. This isn't our children need.
And Leilani, you said something last night at the Education Committee meeting about some of the National Heritage Academy's record in Michigan?
Yeah, that's the one
where the parents are upset and are complaining.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's important when this is before a community to have some idea of their track record and not just what they're saying that they can do, but what have they been doing and how is that working? So these test cases is this community. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there some of the research Supinda has done and made connections with other parents in Michigan. Wherever they go, of course, you have a percentage of people that don't agree with what, they're bringing there. And in Michigan, they have like 45 schools. North Carolina, they have 5 so far.
45.
They've ascended on us, you guys.
Wow.
We need to really, really look at and start making contact. I think the dialogue really has to happen nationally.
So what are the parents complaining about in Michigan?
Yeah, and the same thing, but the laws are different as far as how it is that they can address them. In Michigan, they don't have the opportunity to do the impact statement as our school here in Chapel Hill, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools had the opportunity to address, DPI and the charter school system.
But before they come in?
No,
while they're in even.
No, while, I mean, we came in when the letter was sent in. That's when Forcella was notified. When we found
that's what I'm saying, but they're not in place yet. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Once
yeah,
they would be in place, wouldn't it be very, very hard to do?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's been successful at doing that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we've heard of,
mm-hmm.
And if somebody's done it, we'd like to know about it out there. Please let us know.
Okay, so the parents in Michigan, they're trying to do something, even though they have 45 schools,
right.
But they're trying to get it.
Yeah, and legally and everything else, they seem to be working just as adamantly and even harder than us.
Yeah,
I think some of the things that happened up in Michigan is, there were a couple of boards, local boards, with good intentions who got into this thing and realized, this is not who we want to be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And when those boards challenged NHA as their management group, those boards were replaced. And so, NHA is powerful in Michigan.
So they could influence the elections of the board with campaign money.
They appoint the board. There's no election of the board.
Oh, I see.
Not like our school board. Our school board is elected by the citizens. This board is selected.
Oh.
There's no election process.
Well, I guess it's something we maybe have just taken for granted that we need to appreciate.
Yeah, basically what you're saying is that it's a corporation and the people...
With a nonprofit front.
Right. Yeah. But it's still basically a corporation and they... select their board of directors and whatever arcane way boards of directors are selected. It has nothing to do with the public doing it, and it doesn't involve any things, any really weird
any
things.
Any messy democracy.
Right, no messy democracy and voting and stuff like that.
So, right.
So some things that we take for granted here that we can appreciate in hearing about this. Yeah.
And I think that for some parents up in Michigan, that's been a red flag. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had board members challenge NHJ, and mm-hmm. now they're removed. And so mm-hmm. the charter school continues to operate. NHJ continues to be in business. Mm-hmm. There was a story of a parent who, Kevin, you want to talk about the mother whose son?
Don't remember that.
She tried to get him out of the charter school, one of NHA schools up in Michigan, and they wouldn't remove a discrepancy on his record, which made it difficult for him to transfer.
Oh, this son was being bullied. He was being bullied. He was involved in an altercation where the person who was bullying him hit him, but they both were suspended for fighting. Mm-hmm. She challenged that, and she brought evidence that her son was only defending himself. Mm-hmm. So the school board, the board appointed by NHA, said, okay, we won't suspend your son. He can stay in the charter school. What the parent made the mistake of saying in her success of defending her son is that, well, I don't want to stay in this charter school. I'll be leaving. So she did this prior to getting the recommendation from the school. So then, as opposed to pulling the suspension and expelling off of his record, they put it back on. So now
they
he has a record going to the next school, which does not do him well if he's trying to get into another parochial school.
Wow. So dirty tactics in that circumstance, yeah. Well, and again,
not caring about the child.
Yeah. You know. So the whole thing that we want to come back to is that we've, at least our education committee and NAACP as a whole, has for years been deeply concerned about children in school and working with the schools to try to make things better. And it's disconcerting when all of a sudden out of the blue comes this corporation out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, which may have more control over the children in that school than the community and the local school board. And I guess that comes down to our main concern. Our main concern centers on our children. And this does not seem to be what's best for them, and this corporation has not been involved in our community and in our schools, and I don't know if the sponsoring group, but that's beside the point. The point again comes back to our children and our concern for our children. And wanting to continue to work with this new school, well, it's a relatively new. Some of them are newly elected. Some of them have been there in the trenches still trying to, and things have improved. It's not like we've been going backwards. We have been moving forward. And we had this brand new school superintendent who, in talking with him so far, feeling very pleased with what the vision he has that he wants to try to implement.
Right, and we do understand the concern. 4 years ago, Leilani and I discussed the need for a charter school, but we just saw that the infrastructure cost and the hiring of teachers, all of that would be too much. So this cookie-cutter approach seems, entertaining for someone to just push a button and then they have a charter school. The problem comes from that we do not need a charter school here in Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools because the rigor of the school district is high enough. We do not want to repeat the last 18 years, and we said this to Dr. Frisella when we met with him, that we can't wait 18 years and say that you're not doing any good because we've just done that. And we understand the need for the urgency for our African-American Latino students. We can't afford to wait, but we can't also afford to bring in a corporation that will deplete the funds that we greatly need in this district in order to raise the standards for the children who are most in need.
Yeah, and as we were talking last night at the Education Committee, that the money that would be sucked out to this charter school We need more money here for really good after-school programs. You were talking about a model. Forget where that model...
Yeah, well, they're surrounding... NHA also is building other schools. It's not just affecting us. You know, there are...
No, I'm talking about the model that they were doing with after-school for the children.
But the NHA also is building schools like in Durham and in the, mm-hmm. the Raleigh area, the triangle, other areas in the triangle. But there is the city of Durham has created a pilot program in their city called the East Durham Children's Initiative.
Yeah.
And in that school, they've created a charter school-like, but it's inside of a public school that's funded by the Durham School District. And what they do is they bring in other community collaborations and people, social organizations, as well as people that have talents with that after school. And they've extended their day also so that those children... whose parents would be at work until 5 o'clock anyway, have soccer, language, the arts, throughout the day, within that school. It's contained within the school.
Well, I'd rather not call that charter school. I'd rather call that private school.
But it's a public school.
That's what I'm saying. It's a visionary kind of school.
Yeah. And, there's been some suggestions that, we might take some knowledge from that model mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. and try a pilot program mm-hmm. Ourselves here in our city. So,
Minister Campbell was saying what they're trying to do in the Rogers Road community with the tutoring after school is not just after school as a holding place and the kids have some fun, which is always good, and a safe place, but to have... tutoring and paying attention to how each kid is doing, and if they say they don't have any homework for 3 days, that keeping that contact with the teachers and so that the child has concerned adults in the classroom and then after school too, because a lot of working mothers, by the time they get home and try to get supper on the table, there's not much of them left to energy left to keep after things always for their kids. We're running out of time. This has been so informative because I've known a lot about it, but you helped clarify a lot of it. And I hope our listeners are learning, and there's going to be more to come. Keep an eye out in the paper. We're hoping to have an op-ed piece in the papers pretty soon that more fully outline our concerns than the brief little things in the papers so far. And I want to thank Supinda and Kevin Keith and Lalani Sengodi for coming today.
This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show on WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. We've got a little Willie Nelson to play us out until the next show starts. This topic will be brought up again next week on our regular show, 5 o'clock Wednesday afternoon.
There's so many things going on in the world.
Babies dying, mothers crying.
Mom's crying.
How much oil is one human life worth?
And what happened to peace on earth?
We believe everything that they tell us. They're gonna kill us, we better kill them first. But I remember a commandment, thou shalt not kill. How much is that soldier's life worth?
And what happened to peace on earth?
And the bewildered herd still believe that everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth?
What happened to peace on earth?
before they can do it to you. Let's just kill them all and let God sort them out. Is this what God wants us to do?